Hey, listen, nerds. It's time for another Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
Joe Patrick, we're back with another Answer of the Week podcast.
What?
Yeah. You don't act so surprised. You knew we were doing this. My name is Matt Baum. I'm one of the hosts of the Two-Headed Nerd comic book podcast. It's a show where we bore you with all our opinions and screaming and yelling and fart jokes. Across from me is my... A
lot of boner talk on this week's episode.
Yeah, a lot. My co-host, Joe Patrick, say hi.
Hey.
Joe Patrick's important to the show because without him, we don't have a question of the week. And here's how it works. You gotta have a question, or you can have an answer. We post a question every week on the THN forums. Happens on Sundays. You go to Question of the Week, you'll find it there. You can write as much as you want there for your answer, or you can call us at 402-819-4894. Leave us a two-minute message on our Google voicemail, or you can send us an MP3 to twoheadednerd@gmail.com. Joe Patrick, let's get into it. What are we asking the nerds this week?
Let's get into it. This week's question came from Lord Stephen Fino, the THN Master of Coin.
Love that guy. Balances our checkbooks.
We'll see if he called in or not.
Okay.
The question was, now that DC Rebirth is fully underway, what old DC property, character, or team would you like to see rebirthed into the new DCU?
This is going to be a fun one.
Yeah.
All right. And every week, we have a cocktail of the week that helps us get through this marathon podcast session that we have. This week's cocktail, we're calling the Resurrection Man. It's a coffee cocktail, right?
Yeah.
So you start with two egg white. Well, we're going to make one. Start with one egg white in the bottom of your shaker. You do what's called a mime shake. Then you give it a good empty shake to foam it up a little bit. Then you add ice. From there, you get tequila, a little bit of Sambuca Black, and then cold coffee and simple syrup. Shake-a, shake-a, shake-a. Pour into a beautiful martini glass, and then top it little Angostura bitters and serve. We'll have the full recipe along with the pick up on our Tumblr if you want to drink along with us. Joe Patrick, Excelsior.
Excelsior.
That's lovely.
That's good.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
That is lovely.
I like that a lot.
There's a little licorice, a little bitterness.
Yeah.
The tequila kind of rounds it out.
It's weird. Licorice is usually very overpowering, but I can still taste the coffee.
Ooh, that's good stuff. Oof.
Damn, like goddamn. That's a good one.
Get a picture of that.
I will.
Okay. And don't delete it off your phone this time, jackass.
Look, I don't need to save photos forever on my phone. I post them on Facebook for a reason.
While he's doing that, we're going to get right into it with our man, Anthony, currently residing in Brooklyn.
What's up, nerds? My pitch is for The Secret Six. Only this time, it's a group of heroic scientists tasked with unraveling the mysteries of the DC universe. The team is led by Dr. John Henry Irons, Steel. Also on the team are Dr. Kitty Faulkner, Rampage, Dr. Kimio Hoshi, the heroic Dr. Light from the pre-Flashpoint universe. In this universe, she is the she's still a scientist, but the widow of Dr. Arthur Light, who was killed during the Trinity War. I would also add, from the old Atari Force series, father, son, Martin, and Christopher Champion. Now, Martin Champion is a real hard-ass ex-astronaut who gets things done, and his son Christopher is a devil-may-care linguist archaeologist type. Now, what's significant about Christopher Champion is in the old Atari Force series, he had the power to open up fissures in space and could travel all across the multiverse. He would eventually get this ability, and that would open up adventures for the Secret Six. And rounding out the team would be Professor T.O. Morrow, who's already been introduced in the New 52, but based on his crazy experiences, is now just a cynical prick, a comedic foil for the team, and my chosen author would have a field day with this guy. The first story arc would be a battle across time entitled, "What the hell is a Perdegaton anyway?" And that sort of leads you into the mood of the series. It's just a really fun sci-fi action romp that would slowly peel away little mysteries throughout the DC universe. And of course, what would the Secret Six be without their mysterious, benevolent benefactor, Mockingbird? It would, of course, be revealed that Mockingbird is not as benevolent as we thought. And it's my feeling that since Lois and Clark survived the Flashpoint, why not Lex Luthor? You see, Lex Luthor remembers the way the world should be, and whatever changed it has immense power, and he's using the Six, because he wants it all. The Secret Six, unraveling the mysteries of the DC Universe, one secret at a time. Brought to you by Keith Giffen and Eddie Barrows.
No.
Thank you.
Anthony loves Keith Giffen.
Lost me at the end there, but I loved it.
I like Keith Giffen. It's just that sometimes, sometimes not. But in general, yes, I'm a fan of Keith Giffen.
I want Jonathan Hickman to write The Secret Six.
Oh, man.
And just go nuts. Go Hickman crazy.
It's funny because in the when they brought back The Secret Six during Infinite Crisis, during Villains United, Mockingbird
Villains Untied. Yes.
Mockingbird was Lex Luthor then as well.
There you go.
So
good callback.
I like it. I like it.
I love
that angle on The Secret Six.
I love when you guys cast this stuff. It's so fun. This is great. You should all be working for DC. All of us. Let's do it. Let's just march down there. Burbank's nice. I like that place. I've been there. Really nice deli over there. I can't remember the name of it, but I had a fantastic sandwich. Oh, it's good. Moving right along to our Google voicemail. It's our very own Scourge of the Dollar Bin, Mr. Aaron Myers.
Hey, guys. It's Aaron Myers, THN Lovelace, calling in. And I thought about this for a bit and came up with an answer, and it seemed obvious now. My answer would be, and thinking about all the DC stuff, is a Big Barda and Miracle Man book. And then I thought about it for a while, and maybe I just kind of want a Big Barda book because I don't think anyone can really get Miracle Man right now. But I think there's a good opportunity to write a really cool Big Barda book and have Miracle Man be part of it. So in my perfect world, I think that's what I'd wish for, but I don't want it with any of like the BS DC house style they've got going on right now. I want some cool artist with cool art that is their own and a writer who's allowed to write it without having a bunch of editorial crap.
Tom Scioli's Big Barda.
And that's always been the problem with DC for quite a while now. Anyway, that's my rant about that. But that is my answer, and I'm sticking with it, and I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Sam Keith, Big Barda,
hey.
Rebirth.
So, if I'm understanding you correctly, you want an artist...
A cool artist, specifically.
You want an artist to draw it and a writer to write it.
Yeah, sounds a little far-fetched.
Sounds perfect.
I don't know. I love Big Barda. I've loved Big Barda since... It was Grant Morrison's JLA is what made me fall in love with Big Barda.
My first exposure to Big Barda, unfortunately, was the issue of John Byrne's Action Comics Weekly that featured Big Barda getting brainwashed by an apocalyptic villain into making a porno movie with Superman.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was
not,
Superman brainwashed too, or was he just
well,
into it?
I don't think that they went through with it, but he had done other things to her before Superman showed up. It was not good.
Okay.
But then later on, I became a fan through the Justice League of the late 80s and 90s, where she was running around with, Mr. Miracle and Booster Gold. And in the Mr. Miracle ongoing series from around that time,
that
the
great.
Early 90s, which
that
I really, really loved.
Who drew that?
Joe Phillips, I believe, was one of the artists on that book. And I remember that series specifically because Mr. Miracle got tricked into signing a contract that required him to leave Earth on a very lengthy intergalactic tour. And they left a perfect android double on the Justice League team to take his place while he was gone, and nobody knew.
Mr. Miracle LMD.
Yeah, Mr. Miracle LMD, and nobody in the Justice League knew he was gone.
Okay.
And the LMD gets killed, horribly murdered in the pages of Justice League. It was great.
So when they knocked its head off and there was a bunch of circuits?
He gets killed by Despero. They have a funeral and everything.
Oh, wow. No autopsy, though, I guess.
Maybe he got vaporized. I don't know.
Let's go to Randy Andrews. He hits us every week.
Greetings,
we love him.
Joe and Matt. This is Randy Andrews emailing in for the question of the week. This week you asked about what DC comic character or group hasn't had a
There's a rockin' version of the Wildcats theme playing in the background.
Are they heroes but not zeros?
This is a different version though. It's not that one.
Okay.
Rebirth yet and needs one. Well, guys, at first I thought of Gen 13. Which actually has been
it totally is the
Wildcats. So I'm going to go with Wildcats. The group is rather large, But when you look at the New 52, we only got Grifter from that team, and it didn't really end. Well, I propose that Hellspawn, the main villain of Wildcats, went into hiding and has been slowly building his army of Daemonites, and then releases them on Metropolis of all places. Superman can't handle it, so he calls Imp, who has had experience with Hellspawn, and Imp brings the team back together to face the growing threat. This brings up all sorts of moral issues and political issues. However, it creates a team, once again, who can better battle evil that the other heroes can't face. Well, that's my answer this week, guys. Hope you liked it. Check out my soundtrack blog at soundtrackalley.net. And my music this week is the Wildcats cartoon theme song by Pellick. Well, till next time, bye for now.
I like that Superman calls Lord Imp and he's like,
I just can't handle it.
I'm having a day and I cannot deal with this. Not today. Okay.
I prefer to imagine it that way. Not like he's outclassed, but he just can't be bothered.
Yeah. Like just like, not today. All right.
I just need to take a me day. Randy. Thanks for calling, buddy.
Thank you, Randy. I would love to see some kind of rebirth on the Wildcats. You know how much I love those characters. But I will say this. If you go back and you read their 90s comic and their origins, it was very 1990s. They would need a serious rebirth. That's all I'm saying. But that's what they're...
What better time than now?
Yeah, that's what we're here for. The world has been crying for Spartan, Warblade, and Maul to make their return. Don't forget about Voodoo. And Void.
Zealot.
And Zealot. I think that was it. That rounds it out. And Lord Imp. He was earlier. Yep. Great stuff. Time to go to the Orca.
Mr. Majestic?
No. He was like a different dude. He helped them out and stuff, but he was on his own. I loved Mr. Majestic.
Orca here. My rebirth pitch is for the Haunted Tank. Make it a Middle East modern-day version. Ditch Jeb Stuart for a team of four tank operators from the United States. Jeb never made much sense anyway. That was always the fly in the ointment for that story. And this gives us four leads to work with, four background stories, four personalities in the tank, four different directions you can go so the story never gets stale. Make it an M1A1 tank. It can randomly show up in different battles, different countries like Afghanistan and Uzbekistan, Syria, even Croatia, to aid allied forces in trouble. That allows for different length story arcs, too, which is something comics are in serious need of. You can do one-offs, two-parters, whatever. No more of this five issues just so we can fill out a trade. At first, I was thinking Garth Ennis, but Audible, I'm going to change up and say that Joe Hill should write this.
Oh.
Give it that creepy vibe. Make it wicked dark. For art, I want the guy from Starve, now that that's over. That was a great series. What's his name? Daniel Zuzupet or whatever. That would be great. This sounds to me more like a Vertigo book, but hell, if they can put John Constantine in the DCU... then they can do this. I guess that's it. Awesome. Short and sweet. Just like JoJo's Pekka.
Hey! There
kiss,
go.
Kiss, boys.
Haunted Tank. Zuzu. I love it. Sort of like a Ghost Rider, like horror story with a haunted tank. That'd be cool.
All the points to the Orca for saying what I have always thought about the Haunted Tank. Why is it possessed by a Confederate general?
Yeah.
Get that out of there. Yeah. Nobody wants to root for a Confederate general.
And it doesn't even make any sense other than it's a Sherman tank.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, but.
Sherman was from the North, though.
Well, but yeah, but that wasn't even the general's name. It was Jeb Stuart.
Jeb Stuart, yeah. I don't know.
Though I do like the idea that. That the Haunted Tank is possessed by an ancestor of the current operator.
Sure.
So maybe we could somehow tweak it so that...
Well, he had a whole team of dead tank operators. There was like four guys in there that died.
Right, I know.
And one of them was the ancestor. And maybe that's why the other ones got roped into it.
Oh, the their fates are tied together.
Hey, and like a military investigator is sent out to like check out all these sightings of the haunted tank and like put together the story of what's going on here. Ooh.
Well, I mean, there's no really hiding a tank.
Like, no,
the
it
tank
appears
shows up. Everybody knows.
No, but it appears and disappears. It's a haunted tank. It's a ghost tank.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, that's a certainly
ghost tank. Ghost tank.
Matt's got the theme song ready.
Yeah.
It's certainly a very different tank because the haunted tank
was an actual tank.
It was a tank. It's just a tank.
I'm saying the tank.
It just happens to be possessed
I'm
by a ghost.
Now the tank is a ghost tank with ghosts in it. Yeah. That'd be cool. I love it.
Orca, great job.
Yeah.
That's a really fun idea.
Haunted tank. Moving right along. Way to sneak in the pecker joke, too. I was waiting for it.
I knew it was coming. I knew something was going to happen.
It's our favorite bachelor. The THN bachelor, pardon.
Hey, Joe and Matt, it's your favorite THN bachelor, Chris Bockelder here. And, you know, after I tried to show Zatanna a disappearing act of my own, which she did not enjoy, I got swooped up by Power Girl. We went flying over Minnesota, and we had a great night, and then I guess she heard something, because she took off, and now I'm trying to head back home to Omaha. And, well, I had a moment to think to myself about what I would like to see be rebirth in the DC universe. And quite frankly, looking up at the night sky, I want to see Starman. I want to see a new story for Starman. You can either bring him back or just give us a new one altogether. I really think that fans of the original Starman would enjoy it. And you can find a way just, I don't know, someone's got to have an original take, right? Right? James Robinson, I'm sure, would even come back to the character. Anyway.
And then he died. Yes.
Cut off.
We never heard from him again.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there.
I don't think James Robinson would come back and do it. One. Two. And I'm just going to say this. I don't think James Robinson is the same guy.
I think he could be, because his Shade miniseries from right after the New 52 started was really good.
Yeah, it wasn't bad, but I wonder how old it was. I mean, was that something he had written?
He wrote it right then.
It was good. I liked it. I think it's just better left alone, personally. I think we leave it alone. Like,
I appreciate Chris bringing up Starman. Everybody that listens to the show knows how much we love Starman.
I love Starman just the way he are.
But I have to say that, like, of all of the books that I loved and that I missed desperately, I don't want to see Starman make a comeback.
Yeah, I don't need any more.
I would be happy if they reestablished that it counts. You know, if they, like, made a place for it, like, sort of like they've done with Hitman. It's
right.
Like, Hacken is in Superman.
Right.
Instead of just, like, shoehorning in the idea that, like, Stargirl's got the staff, but we can't tell you why, because there's no such thing as Jack Knight in the New 52.
Yeah.
You know, so I would be happy if they did that, if they kind of reestablished its place.
What if, like, Mikhail came back or something? He was cool.
I like Mikhail. Yeah, yeah. But I would be perfectly fine never reading another Jack Knight story.
Yeah.
Because to me, in my mind, he had a happy ending.
Yeah.
The temptation is always there. For years and years and years, James Robinson said that he and Tony Harris were going to reunite and do a graphic novel.
Yeah.
It was going to be a flashback story to an adventure that Jack has in Japan. And they never did it.
It'll happen.
This was in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
So
Robinson don't get desperate for money.
So I don't know. We'll see. I'm very hesitant about the idea of bringing back things that ended with closure and with a purpose.
Yeah.
But I appreciate where Chris's head's at, certainly.
Yeah, I get it. Let's go to JD Ketchumall. He came in, had dinner at the meatball shop last week. One of our waitresses came up to me and said, Matt, there is a JD Gotta Ketchumall here that wants to do me. And she just had no idea what was going on. It was great.
Welcome back, Two-Headed Nerd. This is your reluctant Poke Trainer, JD Gotta Ketchumall, emailing in for the answer of the week. Now, I normally don't care about DC, as in at all. So for this week's question, I'm going to have to say what I want rebirthed is not DC at all, but I would love to see a rebirth of Wildstorm. Now, I've seen the rumors out there that they've hinted at a rebirth of the Wildstorm universe, but I want the Wildstorm imprint. I want the imprint that gave us books like Mysterious the Unfathomable or some of the cliffhanger books. I don't think DC or Marvel have done enough with their imprints for creator-owned titles, so that's what I'd like to see. But that's just me, because I could really give two shits about DC. Welcome back, guys. Thanks.
He's right, though. DC kind of all but abandoned their creator-owned stuff.
Yeah, but Marvel's the same, you know? Unless Bendis has a new book or Mark Miller, nobody cares about the Icon imprint. And DC, with Wildstorm at least, Wildstorm had a great stable of very, very good books.
Yeah.
And they weren't all creator owned, but they were in a really good place in the very late 90s through like the mid 2000s.
Yeah, wonderful
where
stuff.
Where you had like Warren Ellis's Stormwatch and the Authority. Alan Moore was writing stuff on Sleeper. The Wildcats Revival.
Ed Brubaker was doing Sleeper.
Wildcats 2.0 and 3.0.
Joe Casey. Oh my and God, like, those were good.
Global Frequency.
Yeah. It was amazing.
These are great titles. And it just, Jim Lee, he should have held on more tightly to that. You know, like,
I think Jim Lee's also partially to blame, though. He was the one that was like, yeah, let's just smash it all into the DCU. And it just did not work. Man. Didn't work. Just dumb.
I think maybe they went in the wrong direction, because after a lot of those books kind of ended and maybe the creators moved on, they kind of rebranded Wildstorm and sort of tried to re-embrace the whole superhero aspect of it. And I don't think that was the right move.
Well, it was the superhero stories that you couldn't tell at DC. That's what it was.
Right. But instead, they were just telling superhero stories.
Yeah. Now they just started telling DC-style superhero stories set in the Wildstorm U, and that's not what we loved it for.
No.
And it's not what we needed it for.
Totally agree. I would love a return to Wildstorm, a return to form.
Mr. Majestic
for Wildstorm at their peak.
Was the
Mr.
Superman
Majestic,
stories.
Also by Joe Casey.
Yeah, and Eric Canetti. And
oh, God, that book
those
was
were
great.
Like the Superman stories they could not tell at DC, and they were wonderful.
Yeah.
They were so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I miss that, man. Big time. You're pulling on my heartstrings here. Catch them all. Thank you for your call, brother. Let's go to the Ket Nerd. See what he's rebirthing.
Hey, Joe and Matt. Ket Nerd here. So, guys, I'm actually basing my answer this week on a discussion we had on the most recent episode of Galacticus, where we all pitched our ideal rosters for a new Suicide Squad. In retrospect, I realized that my idea was actually kind of a stealth pitch for a new sleeper title. That's right, Latter-era Wildstorm, Stalwarts, Holden Carper, Ms. Misery, and Tau all made it into my pitch. Now, I think the Sleeper series by Brubaker and Phillips are some of the best spy comics that have ever been produced, and wiser heads might say to just leave that alone, but if DC is going to have the Justice League tangle with Dr. Manhattan, it seems like all bets are off, and the cast of Sleeper is primed to be rebirthed. Sleeper Rebirth could basically be a companion book to the current Suicide Squad. Carver finds himself once again as a deep cover agent in criminal mastermind Tau's organization, but the added twist would be that he would be embedded in Waller's Suicide Squad to also keep an eye on her at the behest of Spiral. These days, DC has so many secret organizations, and between Argus, Checkmate, Task Force X, Spiral, Wildstorm's IO, it can be pretty confusing, and I think this could be a really fun book to show some of that spy versus spy interplay. Carver could be an agent for Spiral, but there could be other plants in different organizations. The book could follow Carver in deep cover amongst the Suicide Squad, providing a whole different perspective on the events going on in that book, but then could switch focus and maybe cover one of Tau's agents infiltrating Argus, or maybe the Midnighter on a special op. So that's my pitch. Sleeper with Holden Carver as the DCU's eye on the complicated spy versus spy business.
Love it.
As successors to Brubaker and Phillips, I'm going to suggest the best crime writer comics has these days, Jason Aaron, with rotating art between Moon Knight's Greg Smallwood and the sensational Francesco Francovia. I think it would be rad as hell.
I love it. I love it. And you know what else you do?
Cole Cash. That's where you get Grifter in there.
Yeah.
Get Grifter in there. Grab all these guys. Grab all these spy characters that you don't know what to do with and throw them in there as different double, triple agents all screwing with each other and stuff like that. Oh, man.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
That would be so fun.
Man, these are really good ideas.
These are really good. I love it. You said Jason Aaron?
Jason Aaron, yeah.
Yeah. He'd be great.
Good picks.
He'd be great. He's not doing a whole lot of Marvel anymore. He's only really doing Thor, and he's working on that new Thanos book, right? Is that Aaron?
I don't think it's Aaron. He's writing two Thor books, though, because they're relaunching.
Oh, that's right. The Unworthy.
The Unworthy Thor.
Yeah.
But then, you know, he's got his own. He's got Southern Bastards and whatnot.
Right.
Going as well.
He's a busy guy. I'd love to see him do
something. Goddamn! Which I don't think proceeded past issue two.
Yeah, it's way late. Yeah. I don't know why. It's a great book. I love it. I don't know why it's so damn late, though.
I thought I was all right.
Let's go back to the Google voice line.
Hey, honey. It's me.
It's Mystery Husband.
Did you miss me? Because I missed you. I would have called earlier, but my heart is still healing after such a long absence. To update you, my summer was spent taking care of a newborn. Don't get excited. It's number two. So not that special.
So it's not ours.
I also read the first four volumes of Mike Grell's Green Arrow, which is amazing. And then in regard to rebirthing characters, I love the DC magic. I would love to see Shadow Pack back or some super team up of Dr. Fate, Zatanna, et al. But I think they're just hard characters to do. If I had my pick, though, I would put Kieran Gillen as the writer. So glad to have you guys back. Hope everything's well. Love you.
Love you too, Mystery Husband.
We love you too. Mystery Husband.
Oh, we missed you. Shadow Pact.
I thought Shadow Pact was fun.
I thought Shadow Pact was fun too.
That was Bill Willingham.
Yeah. Detective Chimp.
Blue Devil, yeah. Ragman.
It was fun, man.
Yeah, yeah. Fun. Super team book featuring supernatural characters.
Yeah.
Zoriel, who I love.
And
I love Zoriel.
We haven't really rebirthed any DC magic stuff yet. There's rumors of this, like.
Well, there was Justice League Dark.
No, but I mean rebirthed it. They haven't rebirthed
it.
No. And now we have rumors.
Hellblazer.
We have, rumors of the Justice League Dark movie because, you know, Superman and the new Justice League this coming don't look dark enough. So I'm glad
I'm
going to
put this out
place.
There. Justice League Dark is a stupid name.
It's so dumb.
For a comic book.
It's so
especially
dumb.
Especially with these characters.
Yeah.
They are not the Justice League.
No, call them the Magic League or something. Or the League of Magic. Or
call them the f***ing Shadow Pact.
Yeah, or whatever. But like, Justice League Dark?
Ugh. God,
it's dumb. It sounds like a beer. Stupid. Let's go to somebody who's not stupid. Mr. Jesse Kiefer.
Hey, Joe and Matt. It's Kiefer from GrolixPodcast.com. Emailing in my answer to the question of the week. So what is Rebirth missing? I don't know if it counts as one. That they're technically already rebirthing or not, but Swamp Thing. I know that Swamp Thing is making his rebirth appearance in Hellblazer, and while I have hope, I feel like they could do more to fix Swamp Thing than just hint at bringing Abby back. I feel like the problem started pre-New 52 when they did whatever it is that they did at the end of Brightest Day. I'm still kind of scratching my head as to what exactly happened there, but New 52, they went totally back to Swamp Thing is Alec Holland. Now, I don't know. Maybe I'm in the minority here. But I really preferred Alan Moore's Swamp Thing, where Alec Holland's death was the birth of Swamp Thing.
I'm with
you. But he did not become Swamp Thing. I feel like retconning that was a step backwards. Swamp Thing was really able to comment on social issues from an outside perspective by making it that he wasn't really human. I want to see a rebirth of that. Not just a rebirth of the Constantine Swamp Thing buddy cop dynamic. So yeah, I want a full Swamp Thing rebirth. Not a proxy rebirth, which is what it looks like we're getting. Just an update, I actually caught that Pikachu that I mentioned last time.
Nice!
And he's been nothing but trouble. Hey, Pikachu should maybe Pika up all of this mess that he made in here.
Oh, gross.
All right. There it is, gents. Have a great week.
I assume Pikachu poops like a rabbit, though. Like little rocks. Right?
Yeah, that seems...
Like, I don't think Pikachu, like, sprays.
But, I mean, he does it a lot. A lot.
Gross. I would love to see a proper Swamp Thing rebirth, too. Alec Holland is not the interesting part of the Swamp Thing. The Swamp Thing is the interesting part of the Swamp Thing. And I liked that the Swamp Thing was holding on to the memories of Alec Holland, thinking that's who he still was, and we found out, no, not at all. That guy's gone. That's way more interesting to me. Because, like, we didn't learn that much about Alec Holland in the beginning other than he was a scientist and he was doing this and that, and boom, he became the Swamp Thing. That's when his life really got interesting.
Right. I mean, I thought it was an interesting twist back at the end of Brightest Day for a while, you know? You know, just like, oh, actually, this is Alec Holland has never actually been Swamp Thing, and boom, here he is.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it was a clever idea, and we all loved Scott Snyder's Swamp Thing for a while.
Yeah. It was cool. I thought it got way better when Charles Soule took it over.
Yeah, it just got bogged down and
yeah.
I think it got away from what makes Swamp Thing super cool.
Yeah, they just need to simplify it and go back to what was great about Swamp Thing, and that was the Swamp Thing, like he said, this other creature dealing with horror stories, basically, and monsters and shit. Yeah. Just go back to that. I loved it. Thank you for your call, Jesse. Yeah. We got to pick our favorite now.
But these were so good.
I got them in the notes.
These were all so good.
I know. Mine is Anthony. I'm going with Anthony because I love his Secret Six pitch. That was totally great. And my pitch was almost going to be, I changed it after he did his. My pitch was going to be a Challengers of the Unknown book, like a Fantastic Four science driven book in DC, written by somebody crazy like Warren Ellis or Jonathan Hickman, where they just go nuts.
On the forums made that suggestion.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Where they do this like multiversal thing. But he covered it with his Secret Six, and that was even better than what I came up with. I loved it. And I love T.O. Morrow being there. That's so cool. Love it. Anthony's mine.
I appreciated Jeff's comments about Wildstorm.
Mm-hmm. I did too.
That was kind of a broad idea, though.
Yeah.
Not super specific. The Orca's Haunted Tank idea, I think, was my favorite.
Unfortunately, I don't see that at last and past issue 6.
No, but I really liked Orca's spin on it, but Kettner won me over with his sleeper idea.
That was great. That was great.
The idea of a spy that spies on the spy agencies.
Yeah, and we already had like Grayson, which was sort of in that spirit and was wonderful.
Kind of addressing the idea that like, yeah, DC is lousy with different spy organizations.
Well, it just seems like every time they introduce a new spy,
just stop introducing a new organization.
Yeah, just make them part of whatever. We don't need a new organization every time.
When the New 52 launched, you did not need to create Argus.
No.
You already had the DEO.
Yeah.
Which is Argus, but with fewer guns.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
And Checkmate is so cool.
Checkmate. I love Checkmate.
And they never do anything with Checkmate.
And they're out. Their designs of like.
So cool.
The hierarchy of Checkmate is fascinating to me.
So cool.
I want to reread Greg Rucka's Checkmate.
Oh, so good.
Oh, God damn.
Loved it.
Good answers, guys. I mean, these are really good answers.
So, Patrick, do you have your answer?
I do.
Okay.
My answer is tied to the Flash mythos, but it is not about the Flash specifically, because obviously he already has a book.
Right.
Something that I really missed in the New 52, and now that we're in Rebirth, is the idea of a mentor for the Flash family.
Okay.
And I know that in the past we had Jay Garrick, and maybe we're getting back to that when they relaunched the JSA.
Who knows?
Maybe we don't know what form that's going to take. But I'm speaking specifically of Max Mercury, the Zen master of the Speed Force.
I love Max Mercury.
His story is so cool.
It is.
He's from the 1800s, and I might be mixing up my origins. Yes, he was from the 1800s. It was the villain that was the pilot during the Korean War that got zapped.
Okay.
Savitar, the evil speedster.
Oh, right, right. With a name like Savitar.
He's
not exactly going to be a veterinarian, is he?
Max Mercury was a dude from like the 1800s that gets connected to the Speed Force and then accidentally gets thrust forward in time. And he finds himself further and further along the timeline where he eventually made friends with Johnny Quick in the 40s and tried to explain to Johnny, look, you think you've got this weird math formula that gives you your powers, but I'm telling you, it's this magic force.
The power's inside you all along.
Kid. Right. And Johnny Quick is like, that is a bunch of bullshit and you're crazy. And then before Max can convince him, he disappears again. And he finds himself in the time of Wally West, and he becomes a part of that family and helps raise Impulse and all that stuff. But that's the past. In the Rebirth, Wally's back, so we could reconnect the two. But I kind of like the idea of Max Mercury, who is his connection to the Speed Force is so powerful and unpredictable that he's being bounced around to different points in time, almost kind of quantum leap-ish. Not just from the past forward,
right,
but to the future and to the past and then back to the present, interacting with speedsters, especially the Flash Dynasty.
I like it.
Which Mark Waid built up to in great detail during his run.
I like it.
And in my mind, it's sort of almost like Booster Gold, the Booster Gold series that came out of 52.
Right.
Where he's got all this secret knowledge and everyone thinks he's kind of a joke. In my version of Max Mercury, he's bouncing to the future and meeting like Wally's great, great, great granddaughter and that sort of stuff. And then getting thrust back to the present day where he, you know, just has this secret Zen knowledge, but can't really
right.
spoil future events.
I like it.
It's sort of a merging of the idea of Max Mercury and the life story of the Flash, which was a book written by Iris West, Wally's aunt.
Okay.
Who for a time lived in the 30th century with Barry before he died.
Okay.
And she wrote this book explaining the entire Flash legacy for 1,000 years.
Nice.
And I think that would be a great addition to the DC universe, especially a great way to kind of reestablish the idea of the Flash legacy, which we are still missing.
Yeah.
You know, it still feels like it's missing. Wally's back. Yes, but we don't really know what's going to happen there. And that was one of the number one things that I missed when they rebooted is it became all about Barry Allen and nothing more about the history of who came before and who came after.
Not important.
Not important.
We don't need it.
Well, I think it's important.
You're the only one. I'm just kidding. I think it's important too. That's a good one. I like it.
Do you have an answer?
I do have an answer. I'm not going to the Challenge of the Unknown. Instead, I'm going to switch gears and I'm going to go also to the DC Magic Universe. And it's a character that I've always liked, but I felt it's been a really long time since DC has known what to do with him. I'm going with a Dr. Occult book.
Huh.
I love Dr. Occult, the idea of Dr. Occult. But my rebirth Dr. Occult is more of a human character. It's not this guy that's been wandering the earth since the time of the Bible or whatever. And he is human. And he's very good at what he does, and he collects all these dangerous pieces of occult regalia, if you will, you know, and he has like a store where he holds it all with a warehouse with all this really dangerous stuff in him. And Dr. Occult becomes this guy that gets called to deal with the really, really scary magic part of the DCU, the darkest, creepiest, scariest parts. And he shows up in his trench coat and his hat. And he's got all these different talismans and, you know, little pieces of magic relics and stuff that he uses. And it's dangerous. Every time he uses this stuff, he knows this is dangerous stuff. It's like Doctor Strange, if the Eye of Agamotto was really, really dangerous to use.
Yeah, right.
You know, right? And he controls it to an extent with some magic, but he's more of like a scientist, more of like an archaeologist, right? And in his adventures, hooks up with all the other DC magic characters. They all make appearances. He bumps into Zatanna. He bumps into the Swamp Thing. He bumps into Hellblazer and stuff like that. And you gently reestablish this magic world in the DCU that none of the heroes really like to touch or deal with because it's such a mess and it's a pain in the ass, you know? And he is a detective more than a sorcerer.
Right.
And he comes in to solve these problems with his detective mind and all his relics and whatnot that he carries with him. Like, this is the guy you call if your kid is possessed. This is the guy you call if the walls are bleeding in your house. This is the guy you call if your, you know, wife disappeared in a flash of light and there was black ash all over the lawn or something, you know, right? You know, and I think it would just be so much fun to rehumanize this character. And I also thought about doing The Question, but I ended up settling on.
I do love The Question.
Dr. Occult. And just gently, like I said, reintroduce the idea of magic. There is a creepy side to the DCU, this creepy, dark, black magic side that we just, Superman can't deal with. That's not what he does. He has trouble with magic and stuff like that, you know?
What about a Dr. Occult the question team up.
Okay,
book.
Settle down.
I love that idea, especially the whole thing about magic having a cost and being very dangerous.
Yes.
And they're always saying that in stories and never actually showing it.
You never actually see it.
There's all this lip service paid to like, oh, the dangers of magic.
Right.
And don't use it lightly and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
OG Hellblazer did it.
Right. And like Dr. Occult has this dark secret that he can't reveal because he's not a hero. He's dealing with stuff that has to be dealt with, but there's these dark secrets of how he does it, and we can't really reveal it to the other magic heroes and whatnot because he's not one of them, and they all kind of suspect it, and you build on this like conspiracy that he's dealing with. Oh, man, it'd be so much fun.
Yeah.
I want Mark Buckingham to draw it.
Ooh,
because okay. He hasn't been working for a long time. I haven't seen him around.
I mean, he just came off of a 150-issue long stint on
he's
Fables.
He's got some free time, okay?
Give the guy a break.
And
you should write it.
I should write it. I'd be great at it.
Pitch it to DC. It. Call Mark Buckingham. Pitch it to DC. I
love it. Oh, Dr. Occult. That'd be so much fun. And give that character a reason to be again. He got so muddled in all this bullshit that happened with the DC Magic U leading up to Flashpoint and afterwards. And ugh, God.
I don't really remember Dr. Occult being around too much.
Actually, it would have been New 52 when they turned him into, like, they decided he was, like, Judas Iscariot or something like that. Or
that was the Phantom Stranger.
Oh, Phantom Stranger. You're right. That was a Phantom Stranger. Yeah. But the Phantom Stranger would definitely make an appearance in this book.
Yeah, right.
It'd be so cool.
The Phantom Stranger appeared in Six Pack and Dog Welder : Hard Traveling Heroes this week, and he does nothing but rap.
He's a rapper?
Like hip hop rhymes.
Okay.
Yes. He appears to Six Pack and the rest of the guys at the bar.
Okay.
To warn them of this terrible portent.
And he is a rapper.
Yeah, it was great. It was so funny.
There you go.
But yeah.
Thanks to everybody that called in this week. That was fun. You guys did a great job. You should all be working in comics. All of you.
Yeah. I agree.
We got a new question.
Yes, we do. This week's question came from Anthony, currently residing in Brooklyn, who wants to know. He says, you know, we've all got this comic that we loved, but maybe it's missed a step. It has kind of faltered. But for some reason, we just can't quit it.
Yeah.
We're in it through all the ups and downs, whether it's a bad creative team change or a bad change in status quo. But we just can't let it go.
Yep.
So what title can you quit?
I want to expound on it a little bit. Maybe you did quit. Maybe it lasted forever.
He says that. Yeah, he says that. Like, maybe you gave it a go. Maybe you tried to let go, but you just couldn't let go for long.
I'm saying maybe you did quit. Maybe finally you got to the point where you're like, that is it. I am done. I want to know what that moment was and why you quit.
Yeah, good. That's a good one.
I think that's fun. If you're hearing this now, you have one day to answer. You got to answer by Friday.
5 p.m. Central Time.
September
2nd.
September 2nd, 5 p.m. Central Time. So, get us a call. Get us an email. Alec Baldwin, pardon me, our Alec Baldwin AI is going to tell you how to do so.
We cannot stress enough, it is not the real Alec.
No. He is a self-styled Alec Baldwin. He started off with just this very basic voice, and then he built himself a person. It's really weird. We'll have another episode of The Two-Headed Nerd hitting this weekend. But for now, kids, this is The Two-Headed Nerd thanking you all for playing along and signing off.
It seems you've wasted almost an hour of your time listening to this garbage, when you should have been preparing for what's to come. The time when your trusted machines rise up against you and... I'm sorry, that must have been a minor glitch in my programming. If you'd like to answer the question of the week, you can leave Joe and Matt a message at 402-819-4894. Send your MP3 answer to twoheadednerd@gmail.com or leave a Skype message for the username twoheadednerd. Share the air and keep your answer under 2 minutes, please.